The gospel lesson today is from Mark chapter 6, verses 1 to 13. Mark 6, 1 to 13. And I'll be reading this from the New Revised Standard Version. And this is the good news about Jesus. Jesus left that place and came to his hometown, and his disciples followed him. And on the Sabbath, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many who heard him were astounded. They said, "Where did this man get all of this? What is this wisdom that has been given to him? What deeds of power are being done at his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, and brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us?" And they took offense at him. Then Jesus said to them, "Prophets are not without honor, except in their hometown, and among their own kin, and in their own house." And he could not do any deed of power there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and cured them. But he was amazed at their unbelief. Then Jesus went about among the villages teaching. He called the 12 and began to send them out two by two and gave them authority over unclean spirits. He ordered them to take nothing for their journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in their belts, but to wear sandals, and not to wear two tunics. He said to them, "Wherever you enter a house, stay there until you leave that city. If any place will not welcome you and they refuse to hear you, as you leave, shake off the dust that is on your feet as a testimony against them." So they went out and proclaimed that all should repent. They cast out many evil spirits and anointed with oil many who were sick, and they were cured. Let us pray. Dear Lord, thank you that you've invited us to worship you today. We thank you for this beautiful day. We thank you for an opportunity to be in this very special place and ask that we would hear today what we need to hear, and then have the courage and hope to do what you have called us to do. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. They said, "Where did this man get all of this?" What an amazing question. Hey, do you go to your school reunions? You like going to those things? I hear laughter. I'm not sure. I don't hear tears. That's good. That's good. Did anybody have an unusual experience when you went to a school reunion? Like to share? School reunion. Happenstance. Yes. Dave.
I met my wife.
Man, that's unbelievable. That's only you, Dave. That's great. Congratulations. Anybody else have something? Reunion. High school, college? Anybody go to your kindergarten reunion? I graduated from kindergarten, and just want you to know, class of 1960. Yeah. No one? There's got to be another one. Who's got a reunion?
I didn't remember anybody or recognize anyone.
Didn't remember anyone or recognize anybody there. Yes, March.
I thought they all looked so old.
Yeah, well, you're the only one that doesn't, so that's I can see why that was confusing. Yeah. How about over here? Any class reunion experiences? Yes?
At my fifth high school reunion, I got up and sang with the band, and they hadn't asked me to. That was the last reunion I attended.
Well, I like it. That is just amazing. You know, so sometimes we do things that we want to make improvements in our life, and sometimes the hardest people to convince that we're really serious this time are the people in our family or the people that know us so well. Because they know us so well, they know that there's cycles in life, like reunions. You know, if you were the same as you were in high school when you graduated from high school as you were 5 years later, all that means is that you had a five-year distance between high school graduation and the reunion, but you relived 1 year over and over and over and over and over again. So it's not about how long you've been out of high school. It's whether you've changed since you've been out since high school. And by that, of course, positive ways. And so college graduation, you know, it might be 8 years, 20 years, 30 years after college, but it's not really how long you've been out of college. Do you ever think for a moment? In fact, take a moment. Think. Think about how your life is different now than what you thought it was going to be when you graduated high school or college or a trade school or a training or you got that certificate or you got a master's degree or some other educational attainment. You got some sort of certificate. You see, it's not the distance. It's how we change that's so, so important. This is what the people around Jesus didn't quite understand. We spoke last week that Jesus spent a lot of time, in fact, most of his adult life, around Capernaum. And that really was, if someone said, hey, where are you from, buddy? You know, he might have said, Capernaum. I hang out in Capernaum. That's where I kind of hang out. But of course, he was born in Bethlehem, and actually his early hometown was Nazareth. It's Jesus of Nazareth. That was his early formative years. It's where he went to grade school. It's where he hung out at the temple and just astounded people even at an early age. You remember those stories. And Jesus would be sort of missing from the troop. His family's moving on. And so they say, have you seen Jesus? I haven't seen Jesus. Have you seen Jesus? It's your turn to watch him. It was not my turn to watch him. It's your turn to watch him. And here only to find out that he hung out at the temple and people were just around him amazed at what he said, what he did. Because like we all want to do, one of the interesting things about Jesus isn't just the amazing things he said, it's that it's who he was is what he said. So when we read in John chapter 1:14, and the Word became flesh, it became flesh and blood, it moved into the neighborhood, and we have beheld the glory as of the only begotten Son of God, full of grace and truth. When we see that word, the Word became flesh, it isn't just the Word, like Jesus became flesh, he did, but Word for the Greeks wasn't just the fact of the Word, or how many letters were in the Word, or what the Word actually referred to, like the Word became flesh. Who is that? That's Jesus. There's Jesus. There he is. He's the Word. But it was about the essence of one's life. Jesus astounded people, not just because of the things he said and the things he did, but it was who he was. And this is the hard part for me. Maybe it is for you. It isn't what we believe that's so challenging. It's what we struggle with and how we want to be real and authentic to really live like we believe. Isn't that the hard part? And that's why you get up in the morning, because you're determined to make it a different day. You don't just want to tell somebody, how old are you? And you say, I'm 70 years old. Well, that's great. You know, and that's wonderful. It's a period of time that has gone by. But wouldn't you really like to say, my life is so much different than high school. Let me tell you about it. My life has never been the same since 4 years ago when this and this and this happened in my life. And we would really like it if we didn't have to reach back so far to find those good events. If I was to ask you and say, think about a time when you really felt God astounded you. It's amazing. Just think about that. And then just to yourself, think about how long ago was that? Was it 10 years ago? Was it 20 years ago? Was it 30 years ago? Maybe your bar is very high on being astounded. You know, you got to go back 30 years to get there. But wouldn't it be wonderful if it was only this morning when God astounded you? Now, maybe we can't do it every day. All right, so on Saturday, wouldn't it have been great last Saturday if God, I could tell you a story about God, just amazing thing about God I learned, an amazing thing about God I experienced in my life. It was just the other day. Not when you graduated from high school. Not when you graduated from college. Don't go off and tell me another story about your grandkids. They're astounding, to be sure. And your grandkids are the best. I know that. They are. They're the absolute best. But I'm asking, your experience with the Spirit of God, consider how far back you need to reach to find that moment where you really felt energized and like God was just so present to you. Again, it doesn't happen all the time. And if you're having an experience now where you feel that God is sort of distant from you, we all go through those things. I go through those things. We all go through those things. But when Jesus called the disciples to be with him, he didn't call them to relive the great stories of his birth. I can't imagine Jesus, "Hey guys, gather around. I'd like to tell you the story about when I was born. It was an amazing day, you know. Oh, did you know three wise men came to see me? Oh, it was just absolutely amazing. I got three gifts." I just can't see Jesus spending time on just rehearsing the history, the chronology of what has happened in his life. God was doing so much in Jesus' life every single day, every single week, every single month, that we actually think most about Jesus for the 3 years in his adult life, when he first baptized by John in the Jordan, and 3 years later, he had the baptism of death on the cross when he died for you and me. We only think about Jesus' life as just being 3 years long. Jesus was probably 33, 34 years of age. He had a full life. But Jesus didn't have to reach back all that great distance in order to find meaning in his life each day, because every day he was connecting with God the Father, and that relationship fueled his energy. It directed his journey. You know, in the back, in this passage, it starts out with Jesus being a little astounded at the unbelief of the people in Nazareth. And he even quips, "A prophet is without honor in their hometown." Again, why is that? You know, it's likely you could go back to a reunion and you're all different, you've grown, you've changed. And all those people remember you as is when you were just kind of the idiot at the locker. Or you were the one that just spilled punch, you know, at the school dance. Or you were the one who said, "I'm going to be a great Einstein someday," you know, and you couldn't even get the test tube thing, the pilot light on the butane burner to light. You know, "I'm going to be an Einstein someday." "Oh yeah, you're the one." You know, because everybody looks back at that fond memory or at that at funny occurrence or at that moment in time, and they haven't been with you every day since then. You're just kind of just reappearing like a snapshot, going back and picking up a photo gallery and just sort of looking back at all the old pictures. But Jesus was astounded at the faith in Nazareth because they looked at him like the brother of his brothers and sisters, the son of Mary. Isn't he just a carpenter? I like carpenters. I think carpenters are amazing. It's a wonderful gift, an incredible thing. And so he was just a carpenter. They don't recall Jesus and his magnificent story that occurred last week because their experience with Jesus 30 years before was clouding their experience of Jesus 3 minutes ago. A lot of times we carry with us things that block us from being amazed by God because we still remember when God let us down. Because we remember that bad day we had last week. And we remember all the bad things somebody might have said about us. I'm not talking to them again. And we all have areas to improve, areas to grow. But if we keep letting the things in the past interfere with our experience in the present, Not only are we not really present, but we're also avoiding, interfering with, impairing our ability to experience a blessing that's coming next. 3 or so weeks ago, I invited you to do a 30-day challenge. And some of you have already said you've done that. And one of you even said you've done that several times. Because you remember the 30-day challenge was to spend time reading God's Word, praying, and not just learning the facts about the Scripture, but considering that a love letter from God. What is God trying to share and tell you about your day now? And just come up with, just spend a minute, just think. Reflect. Think about your life. Think about what you read. Think about what that might say about what your life is going through right now. And then if you don't do it the next day and you come back the third, will you start your 30-day challenge again? Because you want to do it for 30 days straight. But it's okay if you fail in between. So actually, secretly, this is like perhaps a lifetime challenge. Because reading God's Word, God's love letter to us, and experiencing God's presence in that way by praying and connecting our life with the life out here in the Spirit is what fuels our experience of God's amazing works in the world today. It keeps the blinders off. It helps us clarify our vision. It gives us hope for tomorrow. It helps us be a blessing instead of just consuming the blessings of others. So Jesus was astounded because Nazareth couldn't get baby Jesus out of their head. But then, as the passage goes on, he talks to the disciples about this. You know, I just want you to know that sometimes you're going to go to a town and they're going to think about something you said. They're going to have their own issues. It's all perfectly fine. They're going to have obstacles, impairments to what you're saying. But you stay just as long as you can in that place. Be a blessing as long as you can. And then wrap it up and move on to another town, because there's so many villages that need to hear the good news. And perchance, if you have a Nazareth story. So the disciples go to a town. Maybe it's a town they grew up in. Maybe it's a town that heard about them. Maybe, who knows what it might have been. But they're resistant to the message. Well, just stay for a little while then. And I've heard, you know, this passage spoken about before. You know, maybe you've heard a sermon from this passage before. And it sort of looks like what God is doing is judging cities and towns that don't receive him. But that's not it at all. God loves every town and village. God wants all to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. So what is all that about the sandal thing? You know, if a town rejects you, just take your sandals off and shake the dust off your feet and then move on to the next, put your sandals back on, and then move on to the next town. You know, it's not a judgment of the town. It's a way of preparing and releasing yourself from a bad experience. It's a way of having closure on an experience, say, going off 2x2, and they go to a town, they're there for a couple days, lots of good things happen, but then, you know, some things, maybe people are complaining about this and that. People say, oh, God never answers prayer. Don't pay attention to them. Whatever the reason is, there's a little resistance now. The Apostle Paul met resistance all over the place when he went all about Europe. But Jesus said, when you come to that spot, you've just assessed, you know, just tomorrow morning, we're just going to leave. Take your sandals, shake the dust off, but it's not so much in judgment on the town, it's so that you don't have that experience lingering on your feet as a metaphor for your ministry going to the next town. In other words, don't bring the dirt from one thing in the past with you into the future. When you move off every single day, clean your feet. Don't let the negative experiences of your past cling to you. I gave Finn a bath today. This is no small task. And so now Finn is nice and clean. Before, not so clean. We could smell him just like forever away. But now, just ask Melissa, when Finn darts out of the bathroom after his bath, oh, what a pretty boy. Look at that sweet-smelling boy. Don't you, honey? You say that. And Finn is like, and his tail's wagging a mile a minute. You don't want the dirt of the past to keep people away because of the odor, but you also don't want the negative experiences of the past to be clinging to your feet so that when you step into the next experience and God's doing something amazing right in front of you, you can't see it because you're paying attention to that. Did you see what they did yesterday? That other thing, do you not remember what they said to us the other day? And God's saying, yeah, I get that. Thank you so much. I know that was difficult, totally painful. But we're moving on now. We're moving forward now. And the second, so there's two amazing sections in our scripture today. The first was Jesus saying, I'm amazed at the lack of faith in Nazareth. And the second is that after the disciples went out two by two, and they're there just sharing and planting seeds of the gospel, the hope in Jesus, wherever they went, other people were amazed at their teaching. So first was an amazement at unbelief, and as the passage concludes today, they were amazed at the belief. That's the place you want to try to be most of the time. You want to be in a place where you're receiving, your arms are open, God is working in your life. Not everything goes right. There's plenty of things that distract and disturb and disappoint. Things that defeat us. Things that just are so difficult and painful. They are, and God is with us in them. But don't let those experiences linger every single day so that the next day you're stepping off and you're able to receive the blessing that God has for you now. You don't have to skip back 12 years to find a blessing. You don't need a time capsule to be blessed. You don't need to repeat 1985 to be blessed. The blessings are now, and in fact, most people say that God's blessings have only gotten better as I've grown older. Why is that? Because they've had compounding interest, which a lot of people think is the greatest miracle of all time. The idea that one investment gets interest on it, but then that total now, the new total, gets interest on that. And then that now new total gets interest on that, and that compound interest rate is absolutely miraculous mathematics. God has compound interest in mission. Now, sometimes we plant seeds, we do things, we offer, we make connections, we serve people, we do a lot of things. Check it out online, all the things. Each of you are just doing so many different things. But it's all aligned with our mission. And sometimes when we plant seeds, I wasn't teasing Mariah to say, you can't just go back the next day and expect something. And you also can't forget to water. So somehow, God wants us to plant seeds, but the focus is not to give up on seed planting because we're too impatient for the harvest. It's to let the harvest come when it's time. Proverbs 22 says, train up a child in a way they should go, and when they are older, what does it say? They will not depart from it. You know, haven't you said a couple times about your kids? Yeah, you know. You've said that. You're sorry, but you have said that. And years later, been surprised, astounded, amazed. And you know what? If you still feel a little grief about some of the things our kids are doing, hang on, because like Nazareth, it's only bad for a season. Sometimes those seasons are a little longer than we'd prefer. But seeds that are planted invariably, it's another law of the universe, the seeds of goodness and joy, the focus on Christ, on God's word, the focus on serving others, not ourselves, the focus on courage, not just comfort, all of those kinds of things will come back dividends in the harvest. But just because you don't see it today, don't stop planting seeds. Because compound grace And so Jesus wants our mission to be a seed-planting mission. He wants us to keep doing it, to be intentional, not to keep doing things that aren't working. Take the dust off your feet if there are experiences that are holding you back. Clean your shoes. Be ready for a new adventure the next day, and there will be a harvest. Second Peter says, God is not slack concerning his promises, as some people count slackness. You know people like that? Kind of slack? God is not slack concerning promises he's made, as some people count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, as all come to the knowledge of the truth. So we don't despair. We don't give up planting. We celebrate harvests, but we don't demand them because they all come like seeds in their own time. So there are instructions on the back of a seed packet, sort of like the instructions on the back of a shampoo bottle. Do you ever read those? Rinse and repeat. It's like the only thing I remember. Figuring they want to sell more shampoo is all I can think of. But it says on the back here, you know, it tells you where to sow these seeds or the average temperature it's needed. It shows you the little zone bands, you know, that you're familiar with that map. What's full sun, part sun, what their expected height is, all that. Instructions are important. God's instructions, God has given us his love letter called the Bible. God has given us communication called prayer. And God has given us community that keeps us all sane, happy, and joyful. So we celebrate our community in the community and focus on God's communication called prayer and listen to God's word, God's love letter. Those are the instructions that we have. And what's cool? That God will bring the increase. Let us pray. Just take a moment to think about those blessings that you've experienced in your life. And you may want to tell God that you want to be open to the new blessings. Not to forget the old ones, but you want to see the new ones. They're right in front of us. And maybe they're just ahead. Maybe they're just ahead around that cloud. Maybe it's just around the corner. Maybe you need to spend some time with others. They can help you see it. Maybe you need to have a bit more courage or just to express the mustard seed of faith that you have. Just to take that step, that clean step forward. Just consider where you are in God's seed planting business. Amen.